One of the biggest kicks I got researching the book Rock of Ages came on February 20th, 1985, when I drove to a church in Los Angeles to interview its pastor. This was no ordinary minister, as I discovered. His study was crammed with oil paintings of great moments in Los Angeles black music history, and he had a couple of cockatoos with a real bad habit of saying dirty words at the kindly old women who came in to clean. But then, I wasn't expecting piety. This was the Reverend Johnny Otis I'd come to see, and the church was just the latest stop on a journey that had begun 50 years earlier. Although in his autobiography, Otis claims to have become black, he was born John Veliotis to a couple of Greek Americans who owned a small grocery in the largely black Berkeley flatlands. Johnny went to school with black kids, and they accepted him, especially when he took up the drums and turned out to have talent. Before he'd even graduated, he was in demand to play with all sorts of performers, and as soon as he could, he formed a regular band and began to tour. When World War II hit, Otis was fortunate to find himself in L.A., leading a versatile nine-piece band that was much in demand to back up the various singers and instrumentalists the clubs along Central Avenue and Avalon were featuring. In 1948, Johnny and his two friends Bardu and Tina Ali saw a trend emerging in post-war L.A. and invested in an old brewery building in a Mexican-American neighborhood called Watts. There they opened the Barrel House, a blues club for the blacks Otis and the Alis were certain would be moving there. It was a brilliant idea, as was Talent Night, when hopefuls could audition for a spot performing there and, perhaps, a recording contract. "There's an underground telegraph," he told me, "and everyone from Mississippi to Maine knew that Los Angeles is where you go to get yourself recorded." Right off the bat, he discovered a winner.
"Been looking for you, Daddy. I've just found you in time. You hit some other woman and you swore that you were mine. What's the matter, Daddy? Don't my kisses satisfy? If I don't thrill you, baby, goodness knows what I've tried."
Esther Phillips was 14 when she won the Talent Night show and went on to record Double Cross and Blues, the second largest selling rhythm and blues record of 1950. The backup was by the Robins, who later became the Coasters, yet another Otis discovery. And thanks to his connections with KGFJ's top DJ, Hunter Hancock, another white man in a black music world, it was no problem to get airplay. When Otis wasn't touring or seeking out talent, he was looking for songwriters, which is how he found a couple of kids who worked in a record store on Fairfax Avenue, blues fanatics both. He needed a song for Big Mama Thornton, a singer he'd found on his last tour, and they obliged.
"You!
Hound Dog proved to be a valuable copyright for Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, and a valuable lesson in the music business when they had to sue Johnny Otis to get his name off the writing credits. By 1953, when that record came out, though, Otis had lost the Barrel House and was spending a lot of time on the road, crisscrossing the country and acting as talent scout for Don Robey's Peacock Records in Houston. He discovered young Etta James in the Fillmore Auditorium in San Francisco, and, as a favor to Robey, he cut some tracks with a young blues singer who'd gotten Robey so mad he'd beaten him up one night.
Yeah, it's a
But Otis's vibes playing didn't mesh well with Little Richard Penniman's piano playing, and the records were never released. Eventually, Johnny Otis retired to Los Angeles, where he played the blues circuit with a review made up of some of the best of his alumni, like Little Lester and Pee Wee Creighton, and other L.A. masters who'd been temporarily forgotten, like Big Joe Turner and Roy Brown. He's never been particularly modest about his achievements, but then again, why should he be? Nowadays, people come from all over to visit his church, simply because with Johnny Otis at the pulpit, you never know who'll show up in the choir.